In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, hour number two is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, Greg Bloom with me today from Barber's Foods. Also, Jennifer Mackin joining us now. Jennifer, welcome back to Rush to Reason. I've had you a few weeks ago, and I appreciate you joining us again.
Glad to be back. We have a lot more to cover, don't we?
Oh, you know, when it comes to this particular topic, which is leadership development, especially where we are today, this is never ending.
Right.
It really is.
We always have more to work on.
Yeah, there is. There's always, you know, and again, and for the right reasons, it's just always one of those things that you have to continually, even as leaders, you have to continually build, continue to work, continue to study, continue to learn. It's not something where you just get there and, all right, I've got it. In fact, every great leader will tell you they don't know it all and they're still learning. Am I right?
That's right. There's so many variables out there that change all the time, especially now, that we have to be rewriting our playbook all the time.
Yeah, and not that leadership in its core really changes. I believe that it doesn't. I mean, being a, you know, the core to a leadership is still that way, but the things around us and what we have to navigate through, you know, definitely changes, and it's changed these past 6 months especially.
That's right. And so, you know, the things that stay the same are about setting the course, helping people understand how they're connected into that course and that strategy and where you're headed, and then how do you rally them around and give them what they need to be successful? Because really, that's the key to developing leaders and developing people, is to make sure that you get all of this execution power of the people that you lead in action in the right way. That's where you can really compete.
No, you're exactly right. And Greg's one of my sponsors, but comes on air with us time to time. Jennifer, he owns a company here in town where they do meat sales. So Greg sells to restaurants, also sells to the, you know, direct to the public. That's why he's here with us. And, you know, has an organization he leads as well. And we were talking even before we came on air today that, you know, the key, at least for me, of any business owner should be to minimize the amount of involvement they have to have inside of that business and really just focus on the goals, the direction, the vision, you know, where are they headed as a business, while getting everybody else in the organization to do the things that are necessary to get there. And it's the job of that person at the top or those persons at the top to set that course and make it happen.
It is. And wouldn't you agree that right now the opportunity is to look at all the data out there of what's changed, what we're looking at changing again in the next month, 3 months, and then figuring out how to adjust that path for everyone, and then communicating that. And it's just more, it's not once a year anymore that we have to do that. We have to be constantly doing that as leaders of our companies.
Yeah,
and that's how
right.
We're going to get through it in the most successful way.
And what I have found through the years is, you know, the best leaders not only define the team, define the vision as to where they're going, you know, set that course, but then they also know how to not only assemble the team members on the team, but then where to assign each team member that best fits them and the organization. So many times I see somebody out there, you know, they'll hire for a particular position, and maybe they did a great hire, but they hired the wrong person for the wrong position. The hire was great. It's a great person and maybe is a great fit somewhere else. But sometimes those leaders or those managers, I hate to say, typically leaders can figure this out, but managers have a hard time figuring out where to place that good person they just hired.
It is hard, especially if they haven't worked with them for a while. We recommend using assessments up front with new employees that you bring on so that you know the kinds of characteristics they have, what they're driven by, what their strengths are, so that you know what you need done in your department But then who do you place where is based on their strengths and what they are looking for. And so getting that puzzle, it really is a puzzle.
It is.
Lots of work to be done, lots of people. So who do you put where? And I think, you know, when they're new, you just don't know yet.
No, you don't. It's too fresh.
So the more we can use objective data up front, the better.
That's right. And by the way, we have more of that today than we've probably ever had in my entire career of doing this. You know, I've been self-employed for a very, very long time. And I will tell you that today, to your point a moment ago, we have more tools at our disposal today in that regard than we probably ever have. And yet I don't think a lot of companies utilize them.
They don't. They don't utilize them. And there's a lot of reason for that. I think there's misnomers out there about misuse of those types of tools. But if you get a really good one that is valid, that is reliable, that doesn't have adverse impact and discriminate against people, then we're making decisions based on objective data,
correct,
not our own subjective information based on what we see in an interview or people in front of us. And that's where we really make mistakes.
One of the things,
basing our decisions on that.
That's right. One of the things I used years ago, and I think it still exists today, I haven't used it for a while, but there was a book written and there was always a little test that went in the back of the book to tell you, you know, where you ranked. And that was a book called Strengths Finders. And the premise of the book was, it's really hard to get people to shore up things that they're weak in, but it's always easy to get somebody that's strong in an area to become even stronger in that area. And it's kind of one of the things I've always done over the years is make people really, really good at what they're good at. And, you know, if they're not so good at another area, well, then, you know, work around that and don't worry so much about trying to get that strength, you know, that particular weakness improved into a strength, because chances are you're not going to change that individual anyways. And this particular book always had a great test that showed people what were their real strengths and then go work off of that, which, to your point, there's no adversity to that. You just figure out where's their strength and go work off of that.
I love that. And some people don't even know what their strengths are. So that Strength Finder tool is great for individuals as well as for leaders. I prefer for selection and development of people to use a tool called Predictive Index. It's a behavioral and cognitive measure. And what's really key is to define the job requirements. So if you understand what a job requires, not only then can you compare candidates or employees to it to say who would be the best fit here. And how will they perform? Once you have that, then you can connect the strengths to the job requirements and then create development plans for strengthening those strengths, developing them, furthering them.
Well said.
I think that's really key.
And again, for everybody listening, Jennifer Macken with us, MACKIN. You can find her at that website, jennifermacken.com, Forbes book author of Leaders Deserve Better. And everything, Jennifer, you just said is exactly right. Now, we talk about the next generation. And by the way, every generation talks negatively about the next generation. They shouldn't, because the next generation is our future. And that's where the companies and what we have today, and myself included, that's who's going to take over those companies and even a family business like mine and run them on down the road. Or you have to sell them off, one of the two. But let's face it, the next generation is what's going to actually run companies and run the country someday. And yet, at times, I'm not sure we really pour into them and build into them like we should.
Yeah, we don't, because a lot of times we don't even know how to do that. And that's kind of what we're talking about with these assessments and creating development plans. And this new generation coming up is demanding to be developed. They're demanding that wherever they work, that they give them a path, they share with them new skills, new ways of working. So I think that's going to change because they're demanding it. And if we want good employees, we're going to bring them in. I agree that all different generations have different viewpoints on the others, because even the millennials that are in the workplace now, they're not looking so highly on Gen X's and boomers. They're saying, get out of the way, let me try and fix this mess that you guys have here. And yet the older generations are saying, you don't have the work ethic that we do, or whatever it is. And I don't think any of that is true, as much as it is we just have different priorities, maybe different approaches. But what I've seen historically is that we have the same cognitive ability, the same drive, and it's just really about making sure that we meet the needs that people have of how they want to live and work together. That's the big differences of generations. What do you think?
By the way, I agree. Greg, what do you
think? I agree, too. I agree. I have a question for you, Jennifer, that's tangential. I've always worked as a self-employed businessman in a small environment, never had a huge company to manage, but I've always had trouble with getting my employees to buy into the vision and the mission statement. Is that a top-down driven thing in your experience, or is it a bottom-up, or is the way to get the buy-in in small organization to have everyone participate in it, or and how often do you keep that in front of your people? I've always struggled with that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's difficult. And I would suggest for smaller environments that it is a bit of bottom up and then top down.
Yep.
What I mean by that is getting everyone involved in what are we here to do? Who do we serve?
Yep.
You know, what's this end game? And get everyone to put in some input. But then it's the leadership team of a smaller organization that makes it into the actual words. And here's where we're going with this. And then you come out to your employees, say, I've heard you. Here's the mission, here's the vision, let's get excited about this. And then I would say keep it in front of people on a weekly basis.
Yep, regularly, every least. Meeting.
Yeah, every meeting. We start our, we're a smaller business, and we start out every meeting with give an example of where someone in the workplace has shown examples of living this.
Yep.
Mission or living this vision or our values or whatever it is.
Yep.
And people get excited about sharing those things and it keeps it in front of them. That's just one example.
No, and you just said, offer. Jennifer, I fully agree with. I know over the years for me, you know, the only way, you know, I at first tried to use that sort of hammer sickle approach where, hey, it's my idea. We're moving forward. No matter what, that's the direction we're going. Well, you know, that you're not going to get any buy-in doing that. You've got to be able to plant the vision. You've got to also get some key people that you know in the organization. Let's say you've got five people. I think it's really key to get one or two people sort of off to the side, even before you do a planning type meeting, and just kind of get, you know, the gauge of, you know, what do they think? This is kind of what's in my mind. What are you thinking? If we have a meeting, are you going to be on my side, not on my side? Because you need to have some buy-in even initially in that meeting. And if you're a good leader, you're going to get some initial buy-in. And we lost Jennifer. But real quick, you're going to get some initial buy-in out of that. And Charlie, it's fine. We're pretty much done. So I'll just get things wrapped up. Tell her, though, if you want to call her back, tell her thank you very much. I do appreciate that. But Greg, to your point,
right.
you do get those folks involved early on and you start those discussions, but you have to get that buy-in in that case, really from sort of that bottom up. And then, like she said, back top down and then continual reinforcement. Otherwise, it falls flat on its face.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, over the last two decades, it's changed. You know, when I'm a Gen Xer and the mission and the value statement before was we're gonna make a paycheck. We're going to make some money and you're going to take a paycheck home. That was enough motivation.
Correct.
For me. But today, it doesn't work.
No, it does not. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. And again, our last guest, Jennifer Mackin. You can find her at JenniferMackin, MACKIN.com. We'll be right back. Mighty Hand Construction is next, folks, and they are our Northern Colorado experts when it comes to expansion and windows and siding and roofing and whatever you need. They are our company up north. 970-844-9191 or go to klzradio.com.
As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand has the experience to assess all of your exterior damage. Your insurance company will rarely offer you the full amount on your claim the first time, partially because your adjuster may not realize the extent of the damage. Micah and his team have dealt with plenty of insurance claims that covered the roof, but failed to factor in the damage to windows, deck, siding, paint, and trim. Since the Mighty Hand team professionally installs and sells windows, they've seen how poorly fitted windows can cause damage to siding as water works its way down. Although they won't try to fix damage that isn't there, they will take care of your entire exterior so you don't get stuck with another project and another bill. Contact Micah and his team today for an estimate on your full exterior redo in Northern Colorado. Ask about their retrofit windows for increased energy efficiency. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt can help you with the things we just mentioned with Mighty Hand, where if you need things done around the house, Kurt's got a way to help you get those funded. Call him today, 720-895-0500. Again, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take aim, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Again, Greg Bloom with us from Barber's Foods. Greg was with us the whole first hour. And by the way, Greg, great questions you asked a moment ago with, I guess there's a lot of folks out there listening to us that are small business owners, much like myself. Like begets like, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm one of those, always have been one, and probably always will be. I'm one of those guys, I'll never retire, I'll always be doing something, always have some kind of business. It's just who I am. But to your point a moment ago, and I wanted to just expand on that for a moment, yeah, I experienced those same things early on. I've been self-employed since I was 22, and I'll be the first to admit, when I was 22, I didn't know squat. I really didn't.
How could you know? You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. So it took me a long time and going to a lot of different, you know, leadership seminars and reading a lot of books and learning the hard way, you know, doing things at times the wrong way. And in learning, you know, how do you, to your point, how do you get that buy-in? Because without buy-in, you can't move things forward. I mean, everybody just looks at it as a job. And if they're just showing up every day for a job and they haven't bought into the vision of the company and what you're doing, you're never really going to get there. But you can't, in my opinion, especially your core people that are, for example, now at Barber's Foods, you can't just shove vision down their throat either.
Right.
They have to be a part of what that is and a part of that planning. And, you know, how do I compare that to what's going on today? I think it's a lot of what we see today. I'm just going to be frank, guys. It's a lot of what you see from the left versus the right.
Mm-hmm.
The left is literally shoving down your throat the things they want to see changed in the country, be that green energy, whether that be higher taxes, whether it be, you know, health care for all. I mean, whatever the case may be, right. They just want that and want to shove it down your throat. This is the way it's going to be. It's a top-down. Now, they think it's bottom-up because they think everybody's demanding it, but the reality is not everybody's demanding it, and they're really shoving it down your throat.
Right.
Whereas you go to the conservative side, and we believe in free markets. Mm-hmm. Let the free market dictate certain things in the direction that we head, and by lowering taxes, you encourage growth, and you make things happen, and it's two totally different mindsets. And even though the left will tell you that we're all top-driven, the fact of the matter is, no, it's not. In fact, Donald Trump won the last election mm-hmm. from the bottom up,
right.
Not the top down. It's quite the opposite, actually.
Yep. Yeah, I can see that. Yep.
And there's the comparisons. In my opinion, that's, and I think Donald Trump, of all people, knows exactly what we just talked about. If there's anybody out there that understands how to plant and place and know where you're going and how to put that vision out there, yeah, it's him.
Yeah. And he's done a good job.
He has.
Yeah. Yeah. I admire him for doing it.
I mean, yep. You know, his slogan in 2016, which now again is a slogan after COVID, you know, make America great again. I mean, that's vision, folks.
Right.
And he got buy-in, and he still has buy-in, and he's still headed that direction. For those of you listening that might even have smaller companies, it's really important to get your people to buy into that, and you cannot be a Democrat and just force-feed it.
Right. And, you know, he's a pragmatic, get-her-done kind of guy. I was in Beijing 3 years ago in our U.S. embassy meeting with our agriculture representatives that help import, facilitate trade between China and the U.S., and, you know, they're a big buyer of U.S. foods, and that's all great, but they told us flat out that no one has stood up to China before, and they've been bullying us for years. And no administration's wanted to tackle nope. that. And so they were actually proud that someone was in the White House now addressing the issue, although it was painful. It still is painful, but it needed to be done.
It's always painful when you take the candy away.
Right.
Okay, I've said that before on this show, and I really mean that. And folks, that's exactly what we've done. All right, along these same lines, I've got a little clip of something I want to play. One of you sent me this, by the way, on Facebook, which I appreciate very much. This is a James O'Keefe Veritas undercover video taken here in Colorado talking about the way the Democrat Party in Colorado looks at politics and, in their mind, the political revolution that they feel needs to happen in not just Colorado, but across the country. But listen to some of the things that are said. We'll come back and talk about these as we get time through the rest of the show. I got another guest joining us here in a few minutes. But let me play this really quick before we run out of time. Here we go.
2020 is a political revolution. I am going to do everything morally acceptable to win. I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal, because that's morally acceptable in this political environment.
Okay, real quick. This is, by the way, the chair of the Weld County Democrats. Okay, that's who that person is.
Chris Jacks from Our Revolution, a radical left 501c4 organization bent on creating a, quote, political revolution in the United States. Jacks represents the Democratic Party here in Colorado. And Jacks says a Biden administration will be used to advance his political objectives, or else there will be violence.
So again, top down.
Yeah.
What I just said a moment ago, I'm proving my point.
Yep.
This is how the left does it.
Mm-hmm. Strategic hit against the 0.1% that's in charge, because that's who it is. It's killing random Nazis in the street, random bootlickers. So you want to do some Versailles shit, you want to do some Antifa shit, you really want to change this country that way with violence? There's only one way to do it. You got to get people that are close to billionaires and start just random billionaires start turning up dead. I mean,
okay, random billionaires just start turning up dead. This is the guy in Weld County that literally is representing the Democrat Party.
So the top of the list. So I do think there needs to be a militant group, and I love Antifa for that reason. I love that there's, you always have to have somebody that's willing to hold up the flag and say, no, this is the line in the sand, and we're the ones holding that line. But they ain't stabbing motherfuckers like they used to. They don't have to, though, because they used to stab. See?
Yeah.
And that's all we got to say. No. Guillotines. Motherfucker, that's all I got to say. Option A, what I'm proposing. Option 2, slicey boys. What are your choices?
Option 2, slicey boys.
That's pretty sad.
Chop their heads off. I mean, again, folks, this is the Democrat Party. I believe, truly, this is the Democrat Party at its core. You may disagree with me, and if you're not of that party, we would welcome you on our side.
Sure.
Okay? Open arms. We'll welcome you on our side. But this is, if you don't realize it, if you're somebody that's on the left and you're thinking about voting for Joe Biden, this is the left. This is that party. This is the core at what they believe. And folks, you're going to have a hard time convincing me otherwise, because this is mainstream on the left. It is from AOC throughout. Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, on down the line we go. This is what that party believes, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't tell me otherwise, because this is it. This is the core. They just got caught on tape finally talking about it.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, actually. I mean, it's kind of revealing, but it's also kind of, you know,
revealing and sad at the same
time. Yeah, yeah. I'm not shocked.
I'm not shocked either. This is, to me, this is what this party's been about all along. All right, let's do this. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. They've got a great deal on a 2020 Colorado sitting on the lot right now, 2,500 miles. Plus, they've got all the new and used vehicles that you need to head into winter. So go check out Purify Chevrolet. Find them online at purifychevrolet.com or call them at 303-659-8311.
My first name is Steve. And I began going to Purefoy in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I bought 5 cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small-town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town, but they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh, it's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right. And again, Greg from Barber's Foods is with us. We're going to talk about Enchanted Kitchens as well. But the fact that we have Greg here, and we encourage you to know where your meat comes from, and how do I want to say this? You want to have a place in your home where you can cook all the great things Greg can sell you. That's probably
right.
What I'm trying to say.
That's right.
Because not having the kitchen, that enchanted kitchen, that ability to cook the things that you want, and really at the end of the day, save money. Because let's face it, the more you cook at home, the more money you save. And the quality that you're going to get out of your own kitchen far exceeds that of any kitchen you're going to get that's out there on the production side. Trust me, folks, when I say that, because that is a fact. But get that enchanted kitchen. But you can't have that before Christmas unless you go call them today, go online, and get an appointment made, because otherwise you're going to miss out. So go to Enchanted Kitchens. Find them at klzradio.com, 303-376-7588.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Greg Bloom from Barber's Foods with me today as well. Andy texted me, too, and reminded me that that last little clip I played, which I didn't play all of it, but I played enough of you to get the idea. That's also a member of the Colorado Democrat Executive Committee. This is not some just guy on the street slouch, you know, voter that's out saying these things. This is a guy that's high up the food chain in the Democrat Party. So when I said a moment ago that this is really the lifeblood of the Democrats, I meant it, because it is.
Yeah, when I say sad, you know, the thing that I'm sad about is here we are right before election, and this kind of stuff's coming out of a contender in the election. And you know, what happened in the substantive discussions about topics that really affect America's futures, like dealing with the national debt and dealing with immigration and these big issues that we all have, health care, all these things? But he's talking about slicing people.
Mm-hmm. Talking about a guillotine.
That's what he wants to talk
about. Yes, that's exactly right. So, yeah. Anyways, we'll go to our next guest who joins us each and every week now, Olivia Perez Cubas. Olivia, welcome back. Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. I just happened to play, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, the undercover video from Project Veritas here in Colorado. There was a member of the Colorado Democrat Executive Committee talking about basically how to take over the country and basically eliminate billionaires by cutting off their heads and, you know, just radical things. And what I said earlier, and I mean this still to this moment, Olivia, is that is the heart of the Democrat Party. That what this guy's talking about is what they all believe in.
I have not seen that yet, but doesn't sound very surprising.
No, and you know, yeah, we said a moment ago before you joined us, it's startling, yet not shocking that would come out of leadership inside of the Democrat Party. But because I think all of us know that's really pretty much what they're all about. We talked a few minutes ago about leadership and how if you really want to get your organization on board, you know, you have to have sort of some bottom-up vision. It can't just all be top-down, shoved down your throat sort of a thing. And yet the Democrats, that's basically what they do. They just shove, you know, green energy and universal health care and all these different things that they just continue to want to shove down our throats. There's no bottom-up, Olivia. It is top-down driven.
Yeah, I think that's right. I also think they're kind of the party of groupthink, if you will, whereas on the Republican side, we're the party of ideas,
yep,
where we welcome diversity of thought and opinion, and we welcome it respectfully. And I think that what you're talking about is the epitome of that.
Exactly. And again, folks, we're talking to Olivia Perez Cubas. She is director at Winning for Women and former media director for Senator Marco Rubio's presidential campaign. We've been talking to her now almost every week, and we will through the rest of the campaign on campaign trail, Olivia. So talk to us. Winning for women, I should say. We've got candidates, you know, lady candidates across the country that are running on the conservative ticket now. More and more that you guys are trying to find, endorse, and help win. Give us an update.
Yeah, looking good still. We've got a record number of Republican women running for office. We've recently gone up with big kind of ad campaigns on behalf of Joni Ernst, whom I hope all your listeners are familiar with, but as well as Stephanie Bice down in Oklahoma, Claudia Tenney up in New York. These are all just really solid candidates who I think we hope will add to the ranks of conservative women in Congress, despite kind of reaching a low point there after the 2018 midterms. We've made serious gains this cycle. And, you know, we're in the final stretch here before November, but we feel good.
And Lauren Boebert, I know, is one that you just, in fact, helping her campaign. We talked about her last week. She's a big candidate here in Colorado, Colorado CO3, I should say CO3, and on the western slope here in Colorado is what she's running for. And again, folks listening, even though she's on the western slope, even though she may not particularly be in your particular district, she is still going to be a strong voice, not only for us in Colorado, but for conservatives in general. We need to get her elected.
Yeah, and I think, you know, adding more, there's a lot of talk these days about President Trump and the suburban women voter and how to what extent he's losing them. And I think one of the best ways to kind of offset that is to add more diversity to the ballot, to see more women, more people of color and minorities running for office on the Republican side, because that way you do a better job of appealing to more people. Having different voices at the table, giving their takes, speaking for their districts with a conservative angle, I think is really important, both in the short term and the long term of the party.
Well, and I think too, and let's face it, Olivia, the reality is we, even though we don't get touted as this, we on our side actually are more diverse and do welcome more diversity when it comes to candidates than the left does. The problem is the left gets all the credit for the one or two candidates they may actually run versus what we do on our side. I mean, let's face it, the last few times around, in fact, if you looked at them, the majority of the stage of presidential contenders on the Democrat side, we have far more diversity on our side than they've had.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that the left is really good at is throwing money against our diverse candidates.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest hurdles for women to get, to want to run for office and to get over the finish line, is that they are so oftentimes targeted and out-resourced, out-funded by the left. I think oftentimes the left views Republican women as a bigger threat. And, you know, I think it's important that groups like Winning for Women are around now to kind of help counteract that effort and help be a balance to that and make sure that these great candidates, once they decide to run for office, have the support that they need from start to finish and to counteract all the attacks that are coming from the left.
Why, Olivia, why do you feel that they feel so threatened by good, strong female candidates on our conservative side? Why do you feel they're so threatened by that?
I think it kind of disputes the narrative that they're the party of the woman, that they are so pro-women, when you have women on the right who are strong, qualified, incredibly well-positioned to be members of Congress. It's chipping away at that narrative, and I think it creates it threatens what their party stands for in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, by the way, I think everything you just said there is correct. I think that they understand and they know full well that if we get a good conservative woman in a particular district, the chances of her doing very well and staying there are very high. That's why they throw all the money against beating her.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes when there's a Democrat woman running against a Republican man, it's easy to play the gender card and point to how they don't have a voice for you. Here's why you should elect me. And when you have two women at times running against each other, it kind of negates that gender factor, and it becomes more about a battle of ideas. And I think more often than not, that's where conservatives win, right? In terms of their positions and what they're going to do when they go to Congress. And it becomes a little bit more clear. It becomes more about their records, and it gives Republicans an upper hand.
No, well said. Okay, so how can folks, I know we talked about this a little bit last week, if there's folks out there that would like to either get involved with you or maybe there's some ladies out there listening that would actually like to run for office, what do they need to do, Olivia?
Go to winningforwomen.com. You can learn more about our mission there, how you can help all of our endorsed candidates, how you can help them. There's an email on there where you can reach me or just one of our team members will get back to you. We would love your support, and we would love for you to support the incredible women candidates that we've endorsed this cycle.
Well, and I know I just said a moment ago running for office, and people are thinking, well, it's too late to run this go around. Yeah, but we have 2022, 2024. Should I go down the list, Olivia? I mean, we still have a lot of work left to do. We're not done here at 2020, are we?
It is never too late, and it's more important than ever that the Republican Party build a pipeline of strong, qualified, conservative women. If this isn't your cycle, maybe it's the next cycle or the one after that. We've got nothing but time.
And I'm glad you just said that too, Olivia, because one of the things that I feel strongly that we in general, the conservative side, not just on the ladies but on all candidates in general, I don't think we do a good enough job. I'll just be point blank and say it. We do not do a good enough job of packing that pipeline of candidates. It's why if somebody's interested, they need to contact you now.
Absolutely. And I think when you start at the community level or the state level, you start building, you get a better sense of what it's going to take in terms of fundraising, in terms of reaching out to your community, grassroots activism. It helps prepare you for running for office at the federal level.
How much help along those lines will you give someone willing to run for office?
Well, we only work at the federal level, but we have a really great relationship with the Republican State Leadership Committee, who does an incredible job at the state level, have also put an emphasis on diversifying candidates, helping to empower and promote women. So while we focus at the federal level, we are always more than willing to talk to whomever is interested and make sure that they're in touch with who they need to be in touch with.
Perfect. Olivia, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
I know I appreciate it so much. This is awesome. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you then.
Same. I appreciate you putting a focus on this.
You're very welcome, Olivia. Take care. Have a great week. Again, Olivia Perez-Cubas, Director at Communications Director, I should say, at Winning for Women. You can find them at winningforwomen.com. Bruce Simmons is up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, folks. And if you've ever been interested in a reverse mortgage, but you've heard all these horror stories where you just don't quite understand what's going on, talk to Bruce, get the skinny on what's really going on, and he can help you with all of those questions. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-467-7821.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your house without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment, as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe in Castle Rock, what's up, sir?
I got a question and a suggestion for a product suggestion for Greg. The first is a question. Greg, do you make your own corned beef?
We do not. We are a distributor of high-quality meats, but we do not manufacture any of the meats we distribute.
And none of your suppliers would do that for you, huh?
We have one supplier that does make a corned beef, yes, out of brisket, yes.
All right. And a suggestion, if you can get one of your suppliers to, I grew up in a cattle ranch, and although we sold the bulk of our steers, we would occasionally butcher some of our own. My grandmother came up with a packaging idea. She would take a hunk of PVC pipe, she'd wrap the, as a form, she'd wrap the shiny butcher paper around it, and when we packaged our hamburger, she would put it into this, you know, cinch tube of butcher paper and seal it up and freeze it. And then when you wanted a hamburger, it might be a 3-pound roll, you would just take one of these serrated Ginsu knives and slice it off. It was so popular that all the farm families up and down our road would, they loved it because, you know, you get 3 pounds of beef. Well, you know, what if you want 2 hamburgers? Well, it was so popular. Everybody on our rural road was always knocking on the door. Can we get some of your hamburger in a roll?
Yeah, she was ahead of her time. I've seen meat plants actually make hamburgers that way. If you don't have a hamburger patty machine, you can make patties that way with a bandsaw.
Right, but instead of buying, you know, 4 or 6 or 8, just make it in a tube, and then whoever wants it, they take a Ginsu knife, frozen, they just slice off. Mm. If you want 3 hamburgers,
yeah,
slice off 3 hamburgers.
Done. Well done. Good stuff.
That's a good tip. Yeah, great idea.
Good one.
All right, that was just a product suggestion. Perfect. It's a product / packaging suggestion.
Perfect. Joe, okay, thanks, Joe, as always. Appreciate it very much. No, good stuff. Peggy Little joining us now. Peggy, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me, John.
Senior Litigation Counsel at NCLA. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on this week with Amy Coney Barrett. By the way, she's knocking it out of the park as far as I'm concerned.
I thought she did a terrific job. She's very composed.
Smart.
She didn't allow herself to get bullied into any inappropriate concessions. I thought she showed grace. A judicial temperament, which is important, and you know, I think I would predict that she'd be confirmed if the votes go the way it appears they would go.
I would agree with you. In fact, I mean, I know there will be people that will, you know, senators that will vote against her, of course, because they'll do some party line things, and I get that. I get where they're coming from, although I think they're very wrong because I think she's a very good choice. I've listened to some of the answers that she's had when they've, you know, thrown some things at her. And, you know, Peggy, she's just had, to your point, she's had really good, solid answers on how a Supreme Court justice should act and respond.
Yeah, and I have read virtually all of her opinions, her writings, and other material in a kind of condensed form in order to do an analysis that New Civil Liberties Alliance set out for her. And I must say, I was really blown away by her care, her intelligence, her energy, and really an open mind in the cases, too. I think that, I hope that came out. I think it did in the hearings. And I think she's really a superb choice.
Yeah, and I agree. So, and I think just my own opinion, tell me if I'm right, wrong, or otherwise, but I think where some folks that may not dislike her is a simple fact that she is going to look at the Constitution, which, by the way, is not a super complicated document. She's going to read that document and interpret law, you know, based upon that document. And she doesn't see that as a living document that should change over time, like a lot of folks on the left, I think, want to see happen. She doesn't see it that way.
And a judge who looks at the Constitution in that way will return a great deal more power to the American people that has been eroded over time. So I think she's an excellent choice for that reason as well.
And everything, by the way, folks, I just said, I really do feel like, and Peggy, I don't think I'm out of step in saying there are folks out there that would like to see the Constitution. I think they'd like to see it changed. I think they want to see it become a living document that changes over time. They don't want it to. They don't want it to be this staple that never changes over the past 250 years. They want to see the thing changing as time goes by. And the fact of the matter is, that's not what our founding fathers visioned for the country.
They certainly didn't. And this will force Congress to go back and do its job. And so there were issues that were correctly brought up, things of concern that a number of the Democratic senators were talking about. And the fact is, it's Congress's job to democratically pass laws that address those issues. It is not a justice's job to fix those problems through judicial rulings.
No, and in fact, the person that we're trying to get her to replace looked at it very much in an advocacy role, and that's not the way the Supreme Court is supposed to be or behave.
No, and I think she will do a great deal of good work. I've particularly looked at her decisions with what she might do with respect to the administrative power that has so eroded American civil liberties. And she hasn't done a lot of cases. She's only been a judge for 3 years, so this is a tentative conclusion. But Senator Ernst asked her some questions about those issues, and I was impressed with her command of the topic. And I think she will understand that the very first sentence of the Constitution says all legislative power is vested in the Congress. And so I think to the extent that Congress has over-delegated that to administrative, unaccountable administrative mm-hmm. agencies, she will be open to arguments to perhaps restore some of those powers, insistence those powers be exercised only by Congress and restore American civil liberties.
Awesome.
Which have gravely eroded.
Yeah, they have. And we're talking to Peggy Little, Senior Litigation Counsel at NCLA. And real quick, Peggy, what do you guys do at NCLA for our listeners?
NCLA stands for New Civil Liberties Alliance. And our mission is to secure for Americans their civil liberties and rights that were accorded to them under the Constitution and that have been taken away from them slowly by the growth of the administrative state. So we are trying to rein in the often unconstitutional actions of administrative power and return the separation of powers to the three branches. This fourth branch of administrative power should not exist as it does today, and we are working hard to change that.
Well said. What's the website?
www.nclalegal.org.
Perfect. Peggy Little, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll continue to watch how this progresses.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, Peggy. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. Franktown Firearms is next. And at Franktown, we talked to them last Friday, actually. Got great inventory on ammo. They can train. They've got a great inventory of guns as well. So if you're new to buying a gun, they can help you through that. If you've had a gun for a long time, looking for a place to shoot, they've got that handled. If you'd like to get better at what you do in those areas, they're there for you as well. Find them at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Buying a gun alone doesn't make you safe. Recently, the team at Franktown Firearms has been working with a lot of beginners who just want to feel safe. Widows living alone who need to protect themselves. People with arthritis in their hands who may struggle to load or rack a handgun, depending on the model. Anyone can learn defensive shooting skills, and buying a gun is a great first step. But you need to know how to use it confidently. The team at Franktown Firearms encourages everyone to try out different guns on the range before purchasing. Right now, mention KLZ to receive a free hour on the range when you purchase a new firearm. Once you've purchased your firearm, the team at Franktown advises you to sign up for one of their basic training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can become completely comfortable with that particular gun. Free gun rentals are included with private training lessons. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, and Greg Bloom is with us today from Barber's Foods as well. We've had a great, 2 hours, and it has gone by fast. Got a couple of minutes here before we go to the top of the hour. We got one more full hour left. And, yeah, for those of you that have been following the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation, you're probably way ahead of me. I've only watched a few little tidbits here and there. I've had enough other things going on this week that I just honestly haven't had time to keep up on it. I've done enough other show prep and honestly feel like most likely she will do what she has. She's done very well in these hearings, and my feeling is it'll come down to a party line vote. She'll be confirmed, and away we go. So, frankly, I've got other fish to fry.
Right, right.
It's just how I've been looking at it. So maybe I'm seeing it the wrong way, but that's how I've been been looking at it. Okay, so there's also going to be, is it Thursday night, a Trump town hall? Charlie, make sure I say that correctly. I believe that is tomorrow night. There's going to be a Trump town hall and on NBC. And little dictator Fauci, yes, that's, I'm going to call him what he is. Little dictator said that he's, that President Trump is not infectious. Now, why Fauci has to be involved in saying that, I really don't have an answer. But yes, he will participate in the Thursday night town hall. That'll be tomorrow night. So yes, I'll be doing some homework then and watching all of that. But that'll be tomorrow night on NBC. He will participate in a town hall event. And it'll be the evening of what was supposed to be the second presidential debate. And I haven't heard word on when the next one will be. There were supposedly some dates set, but I don't have that date in front of me, if in fact that's even solid. The town hall event with Florida voters will take place Thursday, so tomorrow night at 8, so 6 o'clock our time, at the Perez Art Museum in Miami. It will be hosted by NBC's Savannah Guthrie, who do I know her, Charlie? Am I supposed to? Oh, today. That's why I don't know her. She's on the Today Show. I'm doing other things today instead of watching Today. What are you laughing at? You don't watch morning TV either,
do you?
No, I
don't watch any TV.
Oh, Charlie just said there's a Biden town hall at the same time.
Oh, boy.
We'll see if, on ABC, we'll see if Joe sleeps through that one. I'm just kidding. Oh, Charlie's got a great question. Where will the ratings go? Ooh, I can almost tell you on that one. Biden not so high, Trump through the roof. That's my prediction.
That's what I think.
On ratings. Yeah. Trump's will be way high and Joe's will be flat. In fact, might even go down a little bit because you might have some Democrats over here watching what Trump has to say. That's my thought. I'll have to figure out, I'll have to tape one, watch the other one so I can compare. Charlie's shaking his head like that's just too much. But, you know, it's what we do and those are important things right now. So the audience will be distanced from Trump and Guthrie, and we'll all be wearing masks, and we'll be required to complete a health questionnaire and temperature check. It's like they're going to Hawaii.
Be better to go to Hawaii.
Just saying, it's like they're all going to. By the way, there's a great article that Joe sent me earlier today on how poorly Hawaii has handled all of its COVID end of it, and the fact that things are still shut down. I was supposed to go there next month on vacation, which I actually canceled and made some changes today because I actually did some checking to see are there restaurants and things like that even open. And folks, it's so hit and miss right now that Hawaii is literally slitting their own wrists.
It's a mess.
It is so stupid.
Yeah, it's sad.
What I feel bad about the most, Greg, is all the people there that rely on, you know, the tourism industry and all of that to keep things going, the small businesses and so on that are there that I don't know how they're all going to make it.
I have a customer there that's a distributor. They haven't bought anything since March. I have family there that's unemployed. I have chef friends there that are sitting at home, can't leave the house.
Because there's nobody there.
There's nobody there. There's no plan.
Oh, 80%, 80, 85% of their economy runs on tourism, right. And they shut all that down.
I know.
Dumb.
I know.
Yeah, really dumb.
It's pretty dumb.
We got another full hour coming your way. Greg Bloom with me again from Barber's Foods. By the way, put your order in. Anything you want to get from Barber's Foods, go to barbersfoods.com. Don't forget you get the 2 pounds of Wagyu ground beef when you put in beef at checkout. We'll come right back. Hour number 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.